Father, thank you for your word. God, we thank you that it never returns void, but accomplishes all that it sets out to do. So, Father, we posture ourselves towards you in this moment. Speak to us, transform us, speak life into us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, I'm going to read a chunk of scripture from Ephesians 2. If you are ever looking for inspiration in your walk with Jesus, or you want to know what the church is all about, pick up the letter of Ephesians and consume it. I would read Ephesians once a week, I think. It's my favorite book. So this is Ephesians 2, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 10. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Beautiful. That is the story. That's the story of the Bible. That is the narrative of Scripture. I don't know if anybody caught the Oscars earlier this week. I didn't. But I'm a movie fan. I love it. We were in Kruger National Park a couple of days ago, and I had my Lion King moment, you know? There was a lion with a kill, and it was surrounded by hyenas, and I'm like, that's Scar, that's the hyenas. I had my whole thing. Loved it. The song was going on in my head. Elton John was in there. I loved it. We saw, my first drive, I saw 4 of the 5 Big Five. We were blessed. Thank you, Jesus. We had a really good time, but we love the movies. I love Lion King. I love all these Avengers stories, all these movies. I love Shawshank Redemption and Gladiator and all these great films that have this arc, this narrative arc to them of coming up against challenge and overcoming and, you know, love stories and battles. And the movies that make me cry are sporting movies, like Remember the Titans, when like kids are kind of, they overcome adversity and they become, you know, they go on to win the grand final. I don't know why that makes me cry. It's not love stories, it's sport movies, all the Disney sport movies. But I love these movies because of the narrative of them, that they kind of always work out for the best. And I love it that I can watch it again. It's not depressing. It lifts me up. It's kind of, it's got that arc to it, right? And it made me think, have we ever thought about the story that we live within? The story of our lives. And not just the story of your life, but the story of our lives. The narrative of humanity, the narrative that we live in. And so the place to go is to Jesus. What story did Jesus tell? What story was Jesus, what narrative was Jesus leading us into? And I want to read from you Matthew 4, verse 23. And it says, "He went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them." Mark 1 says, this is Jesus speaking, says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Mark 16 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This word gospel, the kingdom, that is what Jesus was proclaiming. That was the narrative. That's the narrative arc that Jesus was proclaiming to us, is that the kingdom had come and that we should repent and believe in this gospel. And that word gospel actually is a political word. It wasn't a church word. The base of that word is evangelion, which is where we get evangelists or evangelism. And so they would send out an evangelist to carry the gospel, to carry the good news that across the whole Roman Empire, that Tiberius was now king and that the kingdom was at hand and everything was going to now be different and everything was going to change because there's a new king in town. So it wasn't a church word, it was a political word. And it wasn't a word that had anything to do with the laws that were changing or how to live your life. It was a word that was a line in the sand moment. It was a word that had to do with an event that had taken place. It wasn't to do with right or wrong, good or bad. It wasn't advice. It wasn't an option. It was a declaration. It was a proclamation. It was good news. It was good news to the Roman Empire that a new king was in town. And so the writers of the New Testament and even Jesus himself uses this word to proclaim that the kingdom of God was at hand. And I think for many of us, the gospel has become good advice or a good option. It's become something that we kind of strap to our hip and we take it and we use it when we feel like it. But this word is not a good advice. It's good news. And the nature of news is that it's something that has occurred. It's not something that will occur. It's something that has occurred. And for many of us, I think sometimes in our Christian faith and following Jesus, that our hope is all for the future. But the gospel of Jesus is something that's the good news of the gospel, the good news of this story that Jesus is telling us is something that has already taken place. The good news of Jesus has already taken place. Yes, there are promises, and yes, there are things in the future that will take place. And theologians will talk about we live in the now and the not yet. But ultimately, what Jesus was proclaiming, the story and the narrative that Jesus came to plant in our hearts was the fact that there is good news of something that has already occurred. And that right now, you and I, as followers of Jesus, live within a good news story. Your story and mine is a good news story. Just like those movies that we love and those books that we read that have that arc where everything turns out good. We live within that same narrative arc. We live within a good news story. Your life, no matter what's going on in your world right now, whatever the circumstances are, whether it's financial or accommodation or family or relationships, whatever it is that we can face all of those things, all of those circumstances with the knowledge that we live within a good news story. When we read Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, we see this narrative arc from the Garden of Eden to the new garden in Revelation, that there is a good news story. And you and I right now are living in the midst of that good news story. It was an announcement of an event. Jesus wasn't announcing a piece of good advice. It was an announcement of something that had already happened, had already occurred. And the gospel, when it is preached like that, is like a glass of cool water to the soul. Because Scripture tells us that eternity is set in our hearts. And often we lose it for the things that are right in front of us. The things that we think will fulfill us on a daily basis. But there is this eternal truth and this good news story that is the thing that is made to fulfill, to quench our thirst. Scripture says to taste and see that the Lord is good. And as we drink this in, as we live within this good news story, that we, our very souls, our spirits, the purpose and the meaning of our lives would come alive because we live within this. You're in a series right now, Build My Life. We build our life on this truth, that we live within a good news story. The gospel isn't something that we kind of pick up and then move on to deeper or more complex things. It's not something that you learn and then move on. The gospel is the A to Z of the Christian faith. It is what we live in. It is who we are. It's not a diving board into the pool of Christianity. It is the pool. The good news of the gospel is the pool that we swim in. This is not about you kind of just getting the fact that Jesus died on a cross and he rose again. Great, now I'm going to dive in and grab my concordance and my commentary and dive deeper into all the things about the Trinity and all these complex things. No. The good news of the gospel is the pool that we swim our very lives in. And if we could spend the rest of our lives uncovering the depth of what the good news means for us, it would be a life well spent to uncover the good news, what it truly means for us to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, to be filled with the fullness of Christ. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. He didn't come to make you a better person. It's not about morals or ethics. They are fruit, because wherever the king goes, his kingdom goes. When the king is in you, you start to walk out the nature of the king. The kingdom, the king's domain is where the king's culture resides. And so as I give my life over to the king, then his fruit becomes part of my life. And the fruit of the Spirit is actually about the world out there tasting of the king in us. Every piece of fruit has seed in it. That is the nature, that's the characteristic of what makes a fruit, is that it has seed. And in that seed is the DNA. So the fruit of the Spirit carries the DNA of the king. And so as we give our lives over to the king, as we become more like him, he is not making bad people good. He's making dead people alive, because we were separated from him. Because of our sin, because of our brokenness, we were separated from him. But the good news of the gospel, when Jesus rose again on that third day, that any separation, any wall of hostility that had been put up between us and the creator of the universe was ripped down. And so we now live in this truth, that we live within a good news story, that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this is what we build our life on. That we live within a good news story. That we know the end from the beginning. We know the end. We know the end of the story. And so whatever you go through tomorrow, you can know the end. You live in a good news story. Whatever the difficulties, whatever the challenges, it's not because God doesn't love you. He sent Jesus. And if He sent Jesus, that's the ultimate act of love. There is nothing else that compares to it. That is the pinnacle of His love. So everything that we go through doesn't prove that He doesn't love us, because He has shown it already through Jesus. It was when we celebrate Easter in a couple of weeks' time. We live within this good news story. We live in the center of a good news story, that the King has come and He's made a way for us to be in relationship with Him. And so it's vital for us to get this deep in our soul, this revelation. Because for many of us, the problem is that we go through our life as Christians and we struggle to recognize that message, the good news. That's not the Christianity I know. It's become about the things that I do right and the things that I don't do wrong. And that if I stack them up, then at least I'm better than the person next to me, right? Our day becomes about doing these things to somehow prove ourselves to God. And so we live on this hamster wheel, this treadmill, a merry-go-round, if you will, of sin and forgiveness. Sin and forgiveness. I stuffed up again. God, forgive me. I did this wrong again. God, forgive me. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us to be. Because when we're stuck in a cycle, when we're stuck spinning around the drain, we become impotent for the kingdom. That building our life on this good news story is resetting our sense of identity. That you are a son, that you are a daughter of the King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords, and that identity frees you. Jesus said that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life and life to the full. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus came to proclaim. And He came to proclaim not a heaviness, but He said that my yoke is easier, my burden is light. So if your Christianity, if following Jesus is making you feel heavy and burdensome and slow and tired and weary, check the gospel that you're living in. Check the story that you're living in. Check the truth of who Jesus is in your life, of what He came to accomplish, that we live within a good news story. We live at the center of the greatest story that has ever been told. We know the end from the beginning. And we need to break this loop. Jesus came preaching, when he said this scripture in Matthew about His yoke being easy, He wasn't talking to people who were out of the church. He was talking to the religious, because they were striving to achieve this acceptance from God, and it left them tired and weary like sheep without a shepherd. And so it's vital for us as His church to get this revelation, to break the loop of sin and forgiveness, and to become a potent church, to become a powerful church. When we build our life on the truth of the gospel, that is, I live within a good news story, then I become potent. Then I'm not worried about my own brokenness, but I live out of His power. I live out of His life and His abundance. I'm not letting the enemy steal from me anymore. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of the King. We live within this good news story, and we need to be reminded of it on a daily basis, to accept the story that we live in, to accept the truth of the narrative that we live in. And for some of us, what we need to break this loop is to accept this story, this narrative. But also, I believe that a key message for the church today around the world is that we need to make Jesus Lord. For many of us, Jesus is a good friend. He's somebody that you don't mind hanging out with every now and then. His opinions count every now and then. We enjoy hanging out, but Jesus, don't talk to me about that part of my life. Don't talk to me about that part of my life. That's okay. Don't touch that. And so we've reduced the gospel again to good advice. Not good news. We're not living from the event that has occurred. We're not living after that chasm in history where Jesus rose from the grave. We've reduced it again to good advice. And so we feel like our faith and our Christianity isn't working for us. And that's because it's not. Because you live from this place of good news when you make Jesus your Lord. When He's King of your life. When He's the one whose opinion matters. When who He is who we're striving to be, to become, to magnify, to imitate. And yes, He is Savior, but He is Lord. And for many of us, we need to move from Jesus just being our Savior to Him being Lord of my life. And as we do that, you'll start to live from this good news narrative, from the truth of what the gospel really means. It's not good advice. It's not just some moral compass, but it is an identity. There is freedom that comes from knowing the end from the beginning. There is joy that comes from knowing the end from the beginning. That nothing that we face ever can disprove the fact that He loves us, that He sent Jesus to die for us. And we can build our life on this truth, that we live within a good news story. We live in the center of a good news story, that Jesus is my Lord. And the gospel is this pool that we swim our lives in. But if anybody's had a backyard pool, there's a shallow end and there's a deep end. And when Jesus is just our Savior, we're still in the pool, right? I'm not discounting Jesus being our Savior, because that's the most miraculous part of the story. But the deep end of the pool, when you have the most fun, when you can jump in and dive around and bomb and splash and dive down, the deep end of the pool is Lordship. When we let Jesus guide our life, when it's His opinion that matters, when we're looking to Him for guidance. There's a scripture that often gets misquoted, in that the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. And we can often think, oh, well, God's going to give it to me because I want it. But it's actually that God would, that as we put Him first, as we make Him Lord, that He would put the desires in you. Then you can trust that your desires are His desires because He is Lord. Then you can step out in confidence. Then you can step out in power. Then you can step out in your identity as a son and a daughter of the King, because He's placed the desires in you. It's not your own desire. He's become Lord. And so the desires in you are His desires. That's when the church becomes powerful. That's when we will change Cape Town. That's when we will transform lives, because we are led by the Spirit of God, by the very Spirit of God, that we become powerful. We're not just proclaiming words of wisdom of man, but we come demonstrating the very power of God, because we have placed Him as King. We have placed Him on the throne of our life, that we live within a good news story, and we know our place within that story. And part of this journey is that God will change your name. Like Abraham, like Peter. Like Israel, there's a wrestle. There's a wrestle. Because the issue is that God didn't make us as robots. He gave us a free will. And so it's our choice. It's our choice to put Him on the throne. It's our choice. And it's in the wrestle that He forms us. And that lordship, I love the picture of the potter in the Gospels. And we had a friend the other week for his birthday. He wanted us all to go to a pottery class. And I hadn't done one in years, but the thing about a pot or a vessel being formed is it starts as just a lump of clay, a dry, formless lump of clay. And you know the first thing you do when you're making a vessel or a pot? You slam that thing on the wheel as hard as you can so it sticks. You try and get it centered in that wheel. And then you start spinning. Start spinning the wheel. And you've got this piece of clay in the middle. And it's spinning. And it's going round and round and round. And that's often like our walk with Jesus. Coming to church. Going to a small group. Loving on people. Giving. Serving. Round and round and round and round. But if we're in the center of that wheel, if He's Lord and we're in the center, then we're in the position then that He can put His hands on us, that He can start to form us. He can start to, like we first read in Ephesians, that we are His workmanship. In other words, that we are His poem, we are His piece of art. You are a unique piece of art that is being formed by the Creator of the universe. And as we lay our life, it starts with lordship. We place ourselves in the center. And then as we're going around, He puts His hands on us. And then water. You put water onto the clay. What does water speak of in Scripture? The Holy Spirit. As we stay, as we're going round and round, as we stay, as we do the simple things, the easy things, the repetition things, that oil, that water comes on us and we become pliable, and He starts to shape us, stretch us, grow us, taller, wider. And He starts to form us. And then we think He's done, but He takes us off and He sticks us on a shelf for us to dry out. And we think, God, what have I done wrong? Why am I just sitting here on this shelf with these other clay pots drying out? But that's just another part of the journey. He's forming us. He's changing us. He's transforming our life. We're drying out. And some of you might in this room might feel like you're in that period. It doesn't mean that God's left you. Still, it's part of the formation of the vessel that He's creating you to be. And then we're in this kind of wilderness period where we feel like we're drying out. And then what happens next? Shoves us in the kiln. Turns the heat up. And there will be times and moments in your life that feel like pain and suffering. But like Michael said, that's that purification. That's all those impurities coming out so that He forms us into these mirrors that will reflect the glory of God into the world, that will reflect the love of God into Cape Town. And so He's forming us. And it all starts with this foundational truth that we live within a good news story. And we live in it by making Jesus Lord of our life. If I can get everybody to stand to their feet. I just want to finish tonight with just an opportunity for people who may feel like you're far from God, or you feel like you haven't been living within this narrative, that you need a shift, that you need a change. You may have been invited by a friend, or you just haven't been to church for a little while. But you're sick of doing it your own way. You've been treating Jesus like a friend. He's been good advice. He's been nice to hang out with every now and then. But tonight you want to make Him Lord of your life. You want to dive into the deep end of the pool. God has an adventure for you to live. He has joy for you. And so tonight, if there's anybody in here with every eye closed, I just want to just ask you to put up your hand, and I'm just going to pray really quickly. If there's anybody here this evening who would say, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I'm sick of doing it my own way. I want to live within that good news story that Jesus has for me. With every eye closed, if you just want to lift your hand, I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. I'm just going to pray with you and for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Father, take this faith that is here this evening. Take this faith that, God, you love us, that you stepped into human history as Jesus. God, you walked amongst us. You lived a sinless and perfect life. You died on the cross for all our sins, for mine, for everybody in this room. God, that you rose from the grave that we could be made perfect, that we could be made free. God, that we would never be a slave again to our past, to our shame, to our guilt, to our fear. God, that you set us free to live into the future that you have for us, into the good news story, Father, that you have placed us in the center of. So, Father, we want to dive into the deep end. We make you Lord. We commit our lives again to you afresh this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of the gospel leading to transformation and life. Eternal life, Father, is planted as a seed inside of each and every heart this evening. Father God, empower your church, God, with this revelation. Let us build our life on the fact that we live in the center of a good news story. God, that you love us, that you came to set us free. God, that you came to give us life and life to the full in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I pray for this incredible church. God, for what you are doing in it. God, through the team. God, through this location. God, and in Central City, God, and I just thank you, Holy Spirit, God, that you are placing a new anointing, a new spirit upon this church, God, that there is a time coming in the city of Cape Town Jesus, where you will be recognized. God, where the church would be one that is powerful. And we thank you for all that you're doing in us and through us. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen.